Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 309, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, October 17th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Come on, Jack, guess.
Guess
one of them. Yeah, guess one.
You just want
one
me to
is,
guess?
One is a something that
seems
is...
like we're two full weeks out from Halloween.
Yeah, but there's maybe one. There's okay. One. There's one food that gets a day to day that is just like a. It's just like a food that everyone eats.
It's a food,
and it was stolen bananas. By the Italians from
pasta.
Yes. Okay. It's National Pasta Day.
Hey.
National Mulligan Day. Let's see. Oh no! Pro life day of silence are no sir. Mm-hmm. Not going to do
no,
that one,
you.
But we
no,
will do
thank
this.
You.
Black Poetry Day, there National Pharmacy Technician Day. Shout out to the homie at the pharmacy that cooks up their homebrew Wegovy for people in the community, and also National Edge Day, which I believe is for the straight edge people out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not for people who are edging sexually.
No, no, no. This is for straight edge.
Although you guys can always do your thing. You know, we're not getting
you don't need a day to do to do whatever you need to do to feel good.
Whatever it is you do. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. He got legs that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories. Lying to my mom, that's not piss, it's Italian ice. Whoa, sweet Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Lacaroni on the Discord. How did you find out? Are you talking to my mom about
water ice, ma?
Water ice. It's just water ice, ma.
Melted.
Yeah, I went on that roller coaster and came off, and it's just water ice on my
dang
pants.
Dang, water ice all over my pants.
Dang it. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. You gotta Venmo me. You gotta Venmo me. When eggs ain't that cheap, just remember that I got you next week. 20 bones would be sweet, because you got to... I thought I knew the melody of this one, but
hey,
it's just enough to get you started that you got to Venmo me. Shout out to Rando Dixon Art, because, yeah, eggs are pretty... They're kind of going up and down. Gas, though... Yeah. Shout out to plug-in hybrid vehicles to save you that sweet, sweet dough.
Shout out to Randy Newman for being able to stay on.
Is
on
he still alive?
You know.
That's the one where I'm like, it could be a mulligan.
Yeah.
Or it could go, not a mulligan, but it could be a push. It could go either way with me.
Truly could.
He's alive.
Great.
Alive in 79.
Like, good. Shout out to him. I did not, like, when Suzanne Somers passed, RIP, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, damn. I thought, never mind. Okay. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by an acclaimed wildlife ecologist and conservationist who specializes in researching how human activity influences the behavior of wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
She's a TV host and the host of the PBS Nature podcast, Going Wild with Dr. Ray Wynn Grant, which makes sense because she is Dr. Ray Wynn Grant!
Dr. Ray!
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. What's happening? My favorite place to be.
Oh, come on now.
We love having
so many memories.
Yeah. We loved having you last time. And we're like, now that we're talking to experts, let's talk to it. Let's really dig into it. Talk to a real expert.
Let's spend some time doing some research and, like, just, you know, really square up, make ourselves seem extremely smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. We put Miles and I put our brains together and have put together a list of some of the hardest hitting
science-based,
most deeply researched
science-based
questions in your area of expertise.
This is like my oral exams all over again.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is on, and it's going to be on the record.
Right. Yeah. The stakes are high.
Incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to that in a moment. But before we do, we still like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Oh, well, I have something. I hope this can kind of be the great equalizer, perhaps, because I'm a scientist, right? I'm an environmental scientist, a wildlife ecologist. I have all this expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, every so often, I have to Google, like, the simpler things just to make sure that I'm explaining it correctly. So 2 weeks ago, I was with a film crew. I'm filming a television show. It's called Wild Kingdom. It's great. You can watch it. Amazing. It's on NBC, streaming on Peacock.
Wow.
And I was with the crew.
Amazing.
And
we were in a place.
I mean, you know, you gotta sneak it in.
Beautiful.
We were in Texas. We were in Central Texas in a place that has dinosaur footprints, right? Like, this part of Central Texas used to be an ocean. And then at the point that there were these dinosaurs, it was like more of a swamp, and they sunk their giant feet into the mud. And then it just, like, there was a drought and they just solidified and they're still there. It's amazing.
What?
So I'm talking to the crew about dinosaurs. This is just like rural Central Texas, too.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we got into the topic of fossil fuels. And one of the producers on the show didn't know where fossil fuels came from. Like, she didn't understand the word fossil. That's part of fossil fuel.
Right.
So fossil fuels are like, you know, the gas you put in your car is a type of fossil fuel, right?
Right.
Right.
It's what's contributing to climate change. And so I was explaining to her, like, girl, yeah, it's when dinosaurs lived and then they died, their bodies decomposed and sunk into the earth. But because it's been millions of years, those decomposed dinosaur bodies have liquefied because it's so hot down there and turned into essentially like oil that we drill up and use to put in our cars and use to, you know, power stuff. And we've, you know, contaminated the whole atmosphere because of it. And her mind was blown to the point that I started getting like a little bit concerned. I was like, am I lying about this? Is that right?
So the what we would sometimes call fossils, those slowly over a course of long decomposition became fuel?
So let me just say I was right. I mean, I had to Google it because I was like, I mean, I study living animals, not dead ones. But I mean, but that is accurate, right? So fossil fuels, like scientists throw that term around, politicians throw it around, but it's literally fossils. We have them because it's decomposed dinosaurs from under the earth. So like the gas you put in your car is dinosaur body gas that we drive and it combusts and, you know, makes
engines dinosaur go. Body? Like it's not like plant body or something?
It's not plants. It's like
it's
decomposed animal matter. So it's like dinosaurs. It's like all those old crustaceans and all. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff that used to live. One day, humans will be that same liquefied substance and people could use us.
How
to power
Wikipedia
stuff?
Is from oil to plants. Oil? Why does Wikipedia say it's plants? Are they wrong?
I think it's like they might be or I might be wrong, but I believe it's like if it's plants, it's from those like ancient oceans, right? That like
not like
you know, the grass palm trees that died. Stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right. It's like
so
ancient.
It's prehistoric from before there were people to take down the data of like how it all started and what decomposed. It's just like organic matter,
right?
But it's a lot of it is like really big animals, like dinosaurs that died.
Okay, so I have to apologize.
Using their bodies.
I have to apologize to the listeners. I've been calling fossil fuels dinosaur farts that were just cooking dinosaur farts for our guests. So
cooking them, I always said. I said,
yeah.
What is that even?
Cooking farts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're cooking them to get our cars started. But it's the bodies, not the farts.
Don't even
I mean, I feel like that's like clickbaity enough. Like a lot of people, you know, you just hear this word over and over and you're just like, I guess that just means like dirty gases that go into the atmosphere. But it's like really, I mean, it was interesting to make the connection while looking at a dinosaur footprint and like marveling at it to be like, oh, I interact with dinosaurs all the time.
Right. Yeah. And you're also like, you will have your comeuppance, dinosaurs. You will help destroy our Earth.
You remain relevant.
Yeah.
Ash your remains ash, remain dinosaur relevant. Fart to dinosaur fart, as the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How I would have searched that, what you were just talking about, is how dinosaurs footprints Texas, because I only talk to Google in the dumbest phrases possible. Yeah. But
we were in Glen Rose, Texas. If you ever go there, you'll be astonished because there are legit huge dinosaur footprints. Like, and it's just there's just out in the community. It's just it's this rural part of Central Texas that is like, you know, kind of.
Oh, do they have like dinosaur statues there too and stuff?
They have big statues like off the highway kind of statues, but it is the country. Like it is like. It is not urban. It is a wild place, but it's just very accessible. So let me just say, the dinosaur footprints are super accessible. You just like kind of walk upon them.
Really?
I'm looking at a picture from the Smithsonian Magazine, and it has the dinosaur footprints. And then to make sure you know that it's Texas, somebody just dropped a cowboy hat on top of them.
For scale? So
yeah.
For scale.
Got to do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Cowboy hat for scale.
Yeah.
How many cowboy hats tall are you, Jack? If we're doing the Texas measurement.
That's right. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, so this is an unpopular opinion, I think. Maybe not in this group, but overrated, especially right now, like all the pumpkin flavorings that we see going on. I think, okay, I know this. When I was a kid, I ate an entire pumpkin pie one Thanksgiving and I barfed everywhere. Whoa, and now I can't even think about a pumpkin flavor without like getting nauseous. And so I can't handle it. So no offense to all the pumpkin spice
people.
No,
don't worry about it.
And I love me some, you know, apple cider or whatnot, but I just can't do the pumpkin flavor. I can't. Overrated, in my opinion.
It's wild how like one bad experience can totally mess you up.
Like some folks have that with candy corn, right? Like eat too much candy corn, you can never eat it again. I love it.
I didn't even eat too much. I just had one and I was like, this is disgusting and a joke.
Yeah, like no need to eat wax.
Yeah,
the hatefulness that anti-candy corn, and I personally like candy corn and the little pumpkins because I like as much sugar. I like a sugar dense treat and that's just giving you pure sugar. Like sometimes you bite into it and it just like dissolves into a pile of sugar in your mouth.
Yeah.
But the hatefulness with which the candy corn people describe.
Really divisive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have a very strong opinion about what I want for Halloween. It has nothing. And I'm only looking at it through that prism. And I'm like, I hate this. So you're bad. You know, give me chocolate.
It's like the people who hand out fruit or something. You're like, just don't open the door. Like,
maybe just fight me instead.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
Oh, a fucking apple? Okay, why don't you just smack my mother that's with me? And then we can just get there a lot sooner, sir.
No, I do loose handfuls of loose candy corn in the kids' bags every year. That's just just scatter it in.
Sweaty with your sweaty palms and all. Some stick to them.
Sanitary.
Some don't get off your palm.
My hands are bright yellow and orange by the evening. No, I never got candy corn in like. That was not a problem for me, like that people were giving out a significant amount of candy corn. I always associate candy corn with, you know, just being places where candy wouldn't normally be.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think it's an appropriate replacement for like Reese's peanut butter cups, for instance.
No.
No.
Candy corn is the, I hit the CVS right before I came to your birthday.
Yeah.
Candy. Like it has that energy. It's like, it's man, like, you don't
it's give like
a fuck
at
about
the
me.
like at the secretary's desk, right? Like in the main office at school of yes. dish of like
candy Yeah. corn. I think and my family are, yeah. just got like a bunch of candy corn and pumpkins one year, and I was just feasting on them and just have yeah. like the pumpkins in particular.
They're filling. They're filling. Yeah, it's like
it is
meal.
Like the most sugar that you can get in like a single piece of candy.
And wax. Like I yeah. keep saying, I'm like, it is made of wax, I think.
Is yeah. it?
I think it's like a flavored
dinosaur earwax.
Dinosaur earwax.
Tell your kids, Jack. Tell flavor. Your kids.
Yeah.
That's like the thing. I mean, yeah, whenever you have a bad experience and then you end up, you know, having to vomit after, it does put you off. Like, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but one time I had like something from Firehouse Subs. I can't eat Firehouse Subs anymore.
And now we can't have them as a sponsor.
Sorry. And here's another one, Jack, I'm about to completely fuck us over with. 99 Bananas. I drank a whole bottle of 99 Bananas brand liqueur and vomited everywhere. I can't even eat bananas anymore.
Oh my God. But a bottle though.
Yeah, yeah. Some people said there was a mistake starting with 99 bananas, but yeah. I had to know.
Quantity also.
And I misunderstood what you were describing when you said you ate 99 bananas and it made you sick. And I tried it myself and just ate 99 bananas and it made me very sick.
Yeah, it did.
Not sick
it
enough did. To not love bananas. I yeah. love them always and forever.
Good for you. Good for you.
Dr. Grant, what is something you think is underrated?
Okay, this is a little eye-rolly, but this morning, okay, so I have a girlfriend who has four kids. Shout out to Dana if she's listening to this.
Wow.
And she knows how to run a house. Like she's also an attorney. Like she's so skilled, but she knows how to like run a house. And I have two kids and am constantly like, feel like I'm a hot mess. So I reached out to my friend and I was like, how do I not like lose control by the beginning of the day every day? And she's like, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. Like you have to.
Oh,
that's the only way.
On.
You wake up at 5 a.m., you'll have enough time for yourself. Imagine that. Like you can take a shower and get dressed and be a person. You can like get a head start on the day. You can finish up any work you didn't finish the night before. And then you can be ready for the kid chaos. And then you can jump into your work day. And I was like, girl, five though? Like that, like, like we're old now. I don't know if I could do that. Anyway, so I've been putting this off. I've been procrastinating for weeks. And this morning, I set my alarm. I woke up at 5. I only hit the snooze button one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got up. And so what I'm saying is underrated is sunrise, right?
Mm.
Like watching the sunrise, I'm kind of like, this is underrated. This is so peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like real groggy and not real happy. But as soon as like I get to experience sunrise and dawn, like, wow, what a gift, what a blessing. You know, so I'm a new person. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But essentially, I'm a new person.
Yeah, so I did that once. And
I did it once. And I'm here on your show to say.
Yeah. Seeing the sunrise once.
Yeah.
Seeing the sunrise one time.
That sounds nice. Yeah. It just, I will get on a kick of like, I got to wake up before these kids because otherwise, like, they're just all over me. And I also have this thing I tell myself that they like have a sixth sense that when I'm awake, they will also wake up.
Right.
Right.
That is a rough couple hours to spend with a
parenting.
Wide awake 5-year old.
And what's going on? What's going on? What are you doing out here, Dad?
What's going on? Exactly.
Oh, fuck.
Just sitting there while I'm trying to catch up on emails and I'm mad because the sun's not up yet. But yeah, it's so hard.
Little kids are so hard. Because, I mean, but there is something so stressful about, like, the moment you open your eyes, you have to be actively parenting.
Yeah.
And so this is, like, getting ahead of that. I'm like, even if I have 10 minutes before I'm, like, actively parenting, like, my littlest is 3, and she is a complete maniac. Like, she's the wildest kid.
Truly.
I never thought I'd have a kid so
wild. Wilder than some of the beasts I've
Wilder than
with.
The beasts, okay? Like,
do you sometimes say that?
Girl, yeah. You are wilder than these beasts I work
yeah,
with.
Yeah. People are like, how do you like, you know, are you ever afraid? I'm like, I can't wait to get into the wilderness.
Yeah. I would rather face a den of bears.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm holding one of their cubs than waking a tantrum. Up with a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
I know what to do.
I've just come around to the idea of like, okay, so I am going to be more tired at the end of the weekend than at the end of the work week.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's how it was meant to be for a time. Mm-hmm.
As, there's no TGIF. That's not real no more.
No.
Yeah. No. And I think it took me a while. Like I was like, why am I not like loving these weekends? And it's and I do in spots, but I am very tired. I'm so sleepy.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm so sleepy.
You have you tried the Vietnamese coffee yet?
Miles, this is not going to help me in the long run.
I've been waiting to hear your report of how you had to chain yourself to a radiator in the basement because the caffeine was just hitting too hard from the Vietnamese coffee.
I should do it on
coffee.
Halloween night.
You can like sip it over the course of the day. I mean, that is a good point. Like with one of those, the Vietnamese coffee with the condensed milk, it's sweet and delicious.
It's easy to drink quickly. You sip it
over the whole day.
Yeah.
And you're totally, it's like a sustained fake.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do it in one go and then have an existential crisis for the next 8 hours. So
you got to pace yourself.
Sweat through your chair. And then,
God, yikes. You're like, it's damp in here. Oh, it's my sweat.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the hard hitting science.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We are.
And so we want to take this opportunity to check in with you, Dr. Grant, about how you, as a scientist, perceive some of the news that we cover on a regular basis and that is entering the zeitgeist on a regular basis. As the sign in my front yard will attest, in this house, we believe in science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, but we do believe we don't think COVID was caused by 5G.
Okay, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
We don't think vaccines killed every celebrity who has died since 2019.
Since before the pandemic?
Yeah.
Since before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's a good, solid take.
So I guess you'll be shocked to know Miles is not a scientist, but I am also not a scientist. How do you think about communicating as a scientist to non-scientists? Like, how strategic are you when communicating with those of us who may not? I'm not going to confirm that I don't have a PhD in the sciences.
Well, look, I think getting, I'm on Reddit r/science, so I think I have a good grasp on things. But yes, how would you, in a world of contentious information, what's it like? What do you do? How do you speak to those of us?
I gotta say that I work really hard at it, and I am also gifted with a type of science that I do that is highly visual. Right. Like, there are like chemists out there, or people who study like microorganisms, that it's harder for them to show the science as they're doing it. Right. Or might not be as interesting to look at. But I study large animals. I study large carnivores, bears and lions and mountain lions and wolves. And the science behind studying them might be very technical, or like, you know, very mathy or very analytical. But kind of the basics of it are fun to look at. And highly engaging. So I get that benefit just automatically, that like people might tune in. If I show like a hibernating bear, there's a huge science behind that, but the visual also speaks volumes.
Right.
So there's that. And then I also want to just shout out how identity plays a huge role into how I approach science communication. And I even think how I got into it, because as a, you know, I almost said a young Black woman, but I should correct as a millennial.
We're still young.
Used to mean young. As a millennial Black woman, I always was a part of my community, right? Like, my professional community was always so different from my personal, my you know, social community.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I was always telling stories about what I was doing to my community, which is predominantly Black women my own age, right? Or maybe their brothers and their husbands or their boyfriends, or, you know, my family. And so because there was such a disconnect between like ecologists and the people I spend my free time with, without really trying, without being purposeful, I would talk a lot about what I do or where I had been or why I was going these places or the cool stuff that I found. And so I found that just naturally storytelling or just science communication became a thing. And then, of course, I was also, like, growing up, I was such a nerd. So imagine me in college. I went to college in Atlanta, and there was this wonderful Black community, and I was the girl who was like obsessed with recycling, right? Like environmental health, like picking up litter. I was the recycling coordinator for my dorm, right? And so I was also that person, no matter what my identity was, that was like knocking on people's dorm rooms and being like, it's recycling day. Like, bring
you
me all
know.
Of your
right.
bottles of 99 bananas or whatever.
No, I'm collecting them. I put them up on my
gotta
cabinet.
Make a pyramid out of them.
Put it next to my Grey Goose bottles. So they know I at one point could afford Grey Goose.
I have class. So I think that in so many of the ways that I've been involved in science, there's been also a practice to it that you can see, right? You can see someone collecting recycling, right? But there's like a science behind why that's important and how it works. And you can see someone like hiking in the wilderness looking for a bear, and there's a science behind that. So, you know, I think that I might have been super challenged in other ways, but I've just had this amazing benefit of what I do or what I care about and how visual it is and how a person can kind of symbolize a lot of that. Yeah. And so I haven't struggled too much. You know, I do get the comments on Facebook. I recently got an email through my website about someone like kind of threatening me to tell a story the right way, right? It was really interesting.
What does that mean?
There's a bird called the Atwater Prairie Chicken in Central Texas. It's a highly endangered bird. It has this terrible name because the word chicken is in it.
Right.
But it's actually one of these like remarkable birds in the sage grouse family. So it has these like yellow cheeks that puff up really big, and they do like one of those mating dances that you'd see on all the natural history shows. It's like an incredible bird. And this guy sent an email, and he was like, you better, like, if your show does a story on the Atwater Prairie Chicken, you better do it right because so many other people have done it wrong. You know, it's one of those things where I was like, you don't even know what we're doing. You don't, yeah. You know, like there's no context here, but he was like threatening me, like little old me about this prairie chicken, you know? And so it's just very interesting that I do get people who don't like my communication. You know, I do get people who find problems in it, usually for no good reason.
Sure.
But I don't get a lot of deniers when it comes to what I'm communicating. And that is special.
To continue down this, because I think this is that's relevant, right? Because we're such in an era, too, where it's people are like, I got to see it to believe it for a lot of scientific stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, I don't know how a vaccine works. Yeah. But then, like, then I remember, like what was it? The CDC's like, here's a fucking video, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
It's fucking nonsense. But, like, for things that are measurable, right? And, like, for people, like, if seeing is believing a lot of times, how, I guess in that sense, how are you seeing climate change? Because this is another thing that people are like, it's cold today. Therefore, fine, shut up. But how are you seeing that sort of manifest in the physical world that of like these environments of the species that you study? Because that's one thing, like, obviously, you're not like an atmospheric scientist, but you very much do understand how climate is impacting animals. So in that sense, how are you seeing this play out? Like at that scale, because I'm sure that's indicative to like the sort of chain reaction that could happen with our environmental systems.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up because I kind of want to put this disclaimer out that climate change impacts wild animals tremendously in a way that's not okay. But I think that we need to solve the issues of climate change to help people. Mm-hmm. First, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of care more about animals than people, or they might be more convinced to care if there's an animal story rather than a like, oh, people in this developing nation are suffering kind of story.
It's like, but do you see how emaciated their dogs are?
Exactly. Right. No, like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What?
So I always want to point out, like, I live and breathe wild animals every day. I've dedicated my life to saving them and keeping them on this planet. And I think people are more important and more urgently need saving, right? Because climate change is devastating entire communities of people right now. With that said, bears, right? Bears are a perfect example. I've been studying bears for 13 years, and we're seeing how climate change is impacting all different kinds of bears. So one of the things that we love about bears as like Americans is that they hibernate in the winter. It gets cold and they go into their den and they hibernate and they sleep for, you know, 2, 4, 6 months at a time. Well, they actually need all kinds of environmental cues to enter hibernation, right? So it's not like they just like look at a calendar and say like, oh my gosh, it's November 15th.
It's
like
the solstice.
Time to go, right? It's like their ecosystem has to signal to them winter is coming. The temperature drops, maybe precipitation increases, maybe get some snow, right? The trees stop producing food. The other animal species they eat, whether it's fish or deer, go away. Everyone is locking down and there's nothing to eat. That's when bears' chemical balance changes and hibernation starts. Their metabolism slows down, right? That's like body chemistry within them. But that's not going to work if it stays warm, right? If the trees keep producing, if the bunny rabbits keep hopping around, that doesn't happen. So in some of the places that I've studied black bears in the Western United States, there have been these winters recently where the temperature hasn't dropped and the snow hasn't fallen until like February. And so the bears have remained active. But then when February comes and in 1 week, it's, you know, 3 months of snow and everything shuts down, they're not hibernating already. Their bodies haven't gotten into that hibernation state. They might not be able to get there in time and they may starve or they may freeze to death, or they may die, or they may come into your garage and look for a warm place and some food. So we're finding that climate change not only impacts like the bear's perception of what season it is and whether or not it's time to hibernate, but it could also increase conflicts with people, right? Because they kind of freak out. They're like, all I need is some food. It was available last week. It's not this week. So where can I find it? In your trash can. And that is also a problem.
It's got to be hard, just like on their natural, like if they're not getting the rest that they had in the past, right? Like that doesn't that affect them as well?
You know, it's
are they cranky?
they are cranky. Bears are a lot like us. They just are. They're hungry. They have they're hangry. I should say.
I need my 3 months of sleep in the winter.
They're like, hangry. Like as do I.
Yeah.
There are bears in warm places where they never hibernate. So there are bears in Florida.
Okay.
Right? Like in the Everglades, it's swampy, it's warm, and they don't hibernate in the winter. But let me clarify that setting up a hibernation den is the most important and the most critical for surviving periods where there's no food, right? So like classic winter when there's no food. And female bears give birth in hibernation. They need to set up a hibernation den. They need to slow down their metabolism. They need to go into a hibernation state in order to give birth. Because when they do, they give birth every January. Every bear that's ever lived in the history of North American bears has given birth in January. Every single one. It's the most,
really?
it's my favorite fact.
Dr. A, I'm going to have to fact check that.
Fact check it. No, go. Like you have my permission. They're born in January.
Let me call Tim Ferriss really quick.
Do they realize how much better they'd get at hockey if they were born a little bit later?
Oh, just slightly later.
Oh, wow. You're really going to Malcolm Gladwell, aren't you?
Yeah.
When I was doing my PhD research in the Lake Tahoe area on black bears, we would just give every bear a January 1st birthday. And it was more about, it was less about when they were born and more about what year, right? As opposed day or what month, just January. And so the mama bears, like have to stay in their den for, you know, 16, 20 weeks because they give birth to these 1 pound, like hairless, kind of blind little cubs, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're little. Bears are huge, right? Bears are bigger than people and they give birth to these tiny little like fist-sized cubs.
Right.
Wow. I mean, I personally am jealous. Like, human beings should be able to do
not
that, right?
Ratio.
Like, we are smaller, and we give birth to these enormous babies, and it tears us apart. So bears, they have these, like, nice little births. The babies just slip out, right?
Yeah.
And then they just nurse from their moms in the protection of this hibernation den for a couple of months, like 2 or 3 months, and then they emerge from the den altogether. So the mama bear needs to prepare for hibernation by packing on the pounds, getting as fat as she possibly can in order to not eat, not drink, not urinate, not defecate, and just birth and nurse some babies for several months. And if the climate is not giving her that signal that it's time to do that, then she won't be ready.
And the, like, if you play it out to the worst possible outcome, it's that, like, the cycle gets disrupted to the point that the population just begin dwindling.
That's right. We just stop having births, like, successful births, right?
Right.
So it's less about, sometimes people are worried about, like, hunting them, right? Like, outright killing of them. And it's more about, like, females of reproductive age, like, having successful births over and over. That's, if we don't have that, then we don't have a future of the species.
You said something really interesting earlier that I wanted to touch back on. They don't, and I was always curious about this, they don't poop or pee that whole time?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I always wondered how that, I don't know, I remember as a kid hearing that, I'm like, they got to poop a little bit, probably,
sleeping. Okay, so right? Let me just say, because scientists are always going to give a good, like, it depends, right? So here's my scientist, it depends for accuracy.
Uh-huh.
There haven't been a lot of studies done on hibernating bears. You can imagine why, right? Mm. Like, it is very hard to study these animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems so cozy in there. I would be all about that. If you need somebody to go in there.
You peeing? All right, cool. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's like pretty dangerous and like they don't want to be bothered. And
sure.
Lot of these things are very important. And then it's hard to study hibernation in captive bears, like at the zoo. Because again, their food source doesn't go away in the wintertime.
Right.
And so they often don't hibernate because they're like, I'm cool. I'm chilling. I have like a heater and a person who brings me food. So there aren't a lot of studies on this. But what we found is that in this metabolic state that they enter, they recycle all of their waste and urine. So that's why they don't drink anything. And the liquid in their body is being recycled like over and over. It's fascinating. And there's a lot that we can learn about human health and, biomedicine from studying hibernating bears. In fact, there are some hypotheses that their plasma changes. So we can detect the chemical changes down to the blood and the plasma level, and their organs are actually preserved because the, like,
just from the recycling
molecular like components of their plasma changes. I've had a researcher come to the field with me in Minnesota who was a cardiologist and was studying, you know, human hearts. And the idea was that they wanted to take a blood sample from a hibernating bear, which we were able to do, not without drama, but we were able to do it. And they wanted to see if the blood of a hibernating bear could preserve human organs, because we need a way to make organ donors organs longer.
Rather than when there's an organ donor
and there's a recipient somewhere in a hospital waiting for a lung or a heart or a kidney, often the organ will die in transport because we don't have a good way to keep them alive. But apparently bear blood, hibernating bear blood, might be the thing we need to, like, if we can replicate it, to figure out how to preserve organs for double the amount of time so that more lives can be saved by organ donors.
Right.
That's incredible.
See, this is, and learning new stuff too. I'm going to start going poop and pee in the recycling can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That is, I think we got what you were
saying. Recycle your waste to live longer.
You know, talking about the vaccine and, you know, the, like, there is a lot of people who had some ideas about how you could recycle your own urine to help protect you from
Jack,
COVID.
Why don't we?
I think
why
you just endorsed that, right? So we can just move along.
Yeah, that's basically.
Let's get past the joke stuff, Jack.
Summary.
Let's. Why don't you want to ask a serious question?
Yeah. Okay. So. You wake up and you're a bear. I have an answer to this that I'll give first, but, like, what's the first thing you're doing? Like, I personally feel like showing the other bears water slides would be high on my
list. They're going to love it.
I feel like bears would love water slides. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've seen a bear. Like, I've seen them enjoy a pool. I've seen them enjoy hammocks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Love a hammock.
But, like, a water slide park? Like, me and my bear friends go ride on water slide park?
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun.
What would yours be other than that? Obviously,
what would
that's
be
number
the
one.
First
I guess
thing
realistically, but
yeah,
sure.
That I do as a bear. I mean, you know, they're just so motivated by hunger, as am I. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing I might do is, like, hit up, like, a buffet. Mm. You know, like a good, like, what's a good buffet? I mean, Sizzler is classic, at least in my family.
Pizza Hut salad bar.
Oh, from the 90s. Yeah, Pizza Hut salad bar. I think Ruby Tuesdays used to have one. Yeah, okay,
Time machine. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like a solid buffet, I think, would be what I do. But I might also, like, you know what's funny is that what people talk to me about bears all the time, right? And so often they'll bring up, like, Yogi Bear, right? Mm. The cartoon. And they'll talk about, like, picnic baskets and, like, going for a picnic and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, maybe that would be cute. Maybe if I woke up as a bear, I might be like, hey, let's actualize this. Let's, like, go for a picnic at a picnic table in a public park and blow people's minds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's just, like, screw with people and make this whole Yogi Bear story real.
Yeah.
And, you know, do that. Play the part.
I like that. Sorry, we're just furiously crossing off the 5 Yogi Bear questions that we have up next.
All right, never mind.
Not that one.
Those might come off as hack now. what's another one? Oh, okay. So to that point, right, about, you know, bears taking a pie off a windowsill and things like this. So we constantly read stories, or I'm constantly seeing stories of, like, you know, black bear shows up in a backyard and, you know, the species are increasing. The BBC over the summer was like, bears are returning to the Alps. Here's what you need to do to avoid, you know, having a horrible encounter. We're in how to stay safe in bear territory. Some things feel, and then other things I've read about how I think Louisiana may have a bear hunting season for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that, like, populations are rising to levels where before it seemed like it was pretty fraught with potential of, like, you know, extinction. Are these stories, like, are they part of a bigger picture? Are there people who are just looking at these bear communities being, like, trying to other the bears and make them feel like a threat and how we have to control them? Or is it something that has to be hunted? That's one thing I'm seeing constantly, aside from also locally, especially in, like, LA, people who live near the Angeles National Forest, increased anecdotes and, like, local news about bears, like, showing up. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, from your perspective, is it like this is a good thing? Like, right? Mm-hmm. Like conservation's working and mm-hmm. we're able to like help repopulate, or this is, or it's fine lines. Where are we
I've
at with all the bear stories?
So much to say about this. I'm going to save the hunting stuff.
Okay.
Because I have a personal opinion about hunting and I have a professional opinion and they're different.
Okay.
But to answer your first question, here's a little anecdote. When I was in grad school, my advisor said to me, he had been studying carnivores for his whole professional career. And he said to me, when it comes to carnivores, people think there's either too few or too many. They right. never think there's the right number.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, does that ring true? Because when bears are on the endangered species list, like people are like, save the bears. We love bears. We got to get more bears. Bring them back by any means necessary.
Right.
And once we get like a good number of bears around and they're like, oh, look, my ancestors used to live here. I'm going to come back to this space. All of a sudden, right, like people are ringing the alarm, like bears are everywhere. They've returned. Like, what are you going to do? They're eating your puppies. So that's like my thing. I would call on everyone listening to really think about like, where do you fit in this? Like, you do care about wild animals and you care when there's not enough of them. But when there's like plenty or when they're doing well and when you see them, does that mean there's too many or does that mean you're uncomfortable? Because mm-hmm. I think that's a huge, huge difference. Because like on one hand, when it comes to black bears, like we've been doing conservation on them for several decades. It's been working pretty well and black bear populations are rebounding. But there's not like so many black bears, right? I mean,
right.
Considering how many there used to be before, like, you know, the colonization of North America, there's a fraction of that number here today, right? There's no right. habitat for them. I mean, like, you know, you look at New York City. New York City used to have bears before it was New York City, and now you're not going to find a bear anywhere near there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like San Francisco, Los Angeles, grizzly bears, like, walked in those spaces. You're not going to find grizzly bears in California. So I have such a strong like pushback on people who are like, there's so many, they're everywhere, they're in my backyard. Cause it's like, well, it's their backyard, actually. That's like, right, they're in right. their backyard. Like they're at their house. it's like they came first. Bears point. Existed in North America from what we can tell site. From like the evolutionary right. timeline. They were here before people, before indigenous people, before any human beings walked on the continent of North America, as far as we know. Black bears were here first. And so this is their land and we need them, right? Like they help to control the herbivore population, which helps control the vegetation community. And that gives us deeper roots in the soil and that prevents erosion. And that's a really big issue. I mean, there's a lot of reasons we need these predators.
Right.
Okay. The next thing I'll say is that COVID, man, oh man, COVID actually plays into this. Because when the world shut down and everyone had to start working from home in 2020, we started like noticing shit. Like people started like looking out their window and being like, oh my gosh, there's a coyote out there. Oh my right, gosh, right. have you seen how many raccoons are in the trash? Oh my gosh. The combination of people being home and being able to notice what happens in and around their home. And also, like, not going out at night, right? Like, we're not going to the club. We're not, like, going to places. We're just, like,
around. Yeah, we're on bear watch.
Right. We're on bear watch. We can hear. We can notice people spending more time in wild places, right? Like, when we were able to travel again in COVID, it was safer to be in nature than other places. And then technology. Everyone has, like, a Ring camera, right? Like, you used to have a doorbell, and now you right. have a camera at your door. Everyone is able, and they have a camera at the front door, at the back door, all around the house.
Doorbells have cameras.
The Dang. Doorbells have cameras. Like, yeah. there's the so much monitoring. There's also, like, I'm flashing my iPhone at y'all because when I first started studying bears, we didn't have cameras with phones or phones with cameras. You know what I'm trying to say.
Like, yeah.
Camera
yeah.
phones. And now we do. So like the amount of bears that I can show that I'm working on today when I do field work is an order of magnitude bigger than before.
Yeah.
So anyone who interacts with a bear in 2023 can prove it, can show it,
right,
can
right.
put it on the internet, can spread this information. Whereas 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you just had the story to tell and it didn't get very far.
I didn't believe they existed. It was like Bigfoot to me. I didn't think they were real.
It was Yogi Bear. And yeah. That was,
I was like,
that was
no, that's a cartoon, you fools. And right. then, sure enough,
and then I got attacked. Come around. Then it was, sure enough, it was one of those real ones
so that it's I was talking to.
There's like this combination of things, right? There's just a combination of things. Like, yes, there are more bears. There's not very many more bears. Like, it's going well. It's going well. There's more coyotes. There's not that many more coyotes. There's more coyotes caught on your Nest camera, right? That's what it is. Like, you just didn't know that coyotes were minding their own business on your property, you know, 5 years ago. But now you know, and now you have a feeling about it. Yeah. And so there are so many scientists, a lot of folks, especially I have to highlight, like UC Berkeley has this incredible lab, the Shell Lab, S-C-H-E-L-L, run by a Black man who's a wonderful wildlife ecologist. And they primarily study like urban carnivores, and they are actually using data from Nextdoor. You know that terrible like app where people are racist?
Like, what kind of data are they getting?
How
those people are selling stuff outside on the corner again?
Oh my gosh. So that like filter like out all of the discriminatory like posts on racism and anti-homeless rhetoric. And you get people talking about animals. And they're actually using data from Nextdoor to kind of measure, like, are people reporting seeing wildlife more often than before? And the answer is yes. So we have, like, a few more animals, but a lot more reporting, a lot more discussions, a lot of people sharing it and seeing it. And I think that's good. I think it normalizes wildlife being around, but people got to like stop worrying that they're not going to be okay. Because it's like, when was the last time a coyote like killed somebody? We don't have that. Like, that doesn't happen. A bear
or a dingo ate like, my baby, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's not like you're okay. Like, you're safe. You just might not feel comfortable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it gets to your point about awareness. Like, the more I see it, the more I'm like, I actually see more videos of bear encounters where people like successfully are just like, who know what they're doing, and like the bear leaves. Mm-hmm. And that's actually given me a little bit more of being like, okay, they're not out here to fucking eat our pies. You know, they're just doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to have an encounter, there is a way to exit without being like, get your fucking gun, Tom.
All this bear, pie fear mongering is getting out of hand. And
it's unbearable, actually. Yep.
Okay, Miles.
We need to wage a campaign.
Yeah. We need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And I want to ask about bear videos just generally, because I think you've mentioned it a couple of times, but bear videos rule. They probably make your job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We are.
And yeah, so I mean, cat videos is the thing. Everyone's like, the internet full of cat videos. Bear videos for me, for my money, better.
They rule.
So first of all, do you, like, is it annoying to you as somebody with a superior animal to cat?
Yeah.
Like, are you like, enough with the cat videos? Have you seen these Russian guys whose best friends are literally a bear?
I have to say, I don't want to offend anybody who's listening.
Oh boy.
But like, I get sent so many bear videos.
And you're like,
I get,
leave me alone.
So every day, like whether it's okay, like okay, people on, I know on text, DMs. Sure, sure.
Hold on. Have you seen this one though? Check this one out. This is one where the bear catches bread.
Yeah, catches a piece of bread. Have you seen this one?
Look at this.
So first, sits back. Sits back.
So impressive. So
and
good.
This is probably not advisable.
Hello. Hi.
Bears start waving. Throw him a piece
of bread.
Slice of bread.
No look catch.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. So you seen that one?
No.
Okay, okay. How about this other one?
That was impressive.
Okay.
Thank you.
The catch was impressive. I'm never going to champion like captive bears, like
in a questionable facility.
Like I study wild bears.
Yeah. Okay. But that
bear was behind the smallest fence I've ever seen. But
it was like chicken wire. I was like, I'm sorry. Okay, sure.
That's an extremely tame bear.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Like I love watching bears enjoy a hammock. I particularly feel like that is like because they are perfectly physically expressing the weird, unstable feeling of getting in a hammock for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like that if you like had a genius comedic actor like doing a routine with a hammock, this is kind of like so this one is two little baby cubs doing.
It says woman records rowdy bear cubs playing on her hammock. They're so rowdy.
They look half like, you know, they're perfectly inhabiting the weirdness of being on a hammock, and half they just look like if you gave my kids
a
little bit of sugar and let them.
And they flipped over. That's so real. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. That's so real. Like hammocks are super awkward and
they're just having the weirdest time.
And it's like, who really spends that much time in a hammock? Because they're like, it's just so awkward and you never feel totally like, you know. Stable,
but then sometimes they get in there and they're soaking it in.
Bears love to play, you know, especially the cubs, like baby animals love to play, but the cubs are so much like human beings, like we can just see it. And when a bear is good and full, it has time to play. And so we get a lot of those videos of like bears splashing around people's swimming pools or like sitting, you know, in their hot tubs or like, you know, playing on the hammock or going on the swing because they're curious and they like to play. And that is one of the reasons that they show up in the other kind of video, right? Like where they're trained. That's the reason that like we used to see bears in the circus,
right?
All the time. It's like they are easily trained. They're really smart animals. They are very agile, right? Like their bodies work in ways a lot like ours. And so they have fun. As long as their belly, I'm going to say it again, as long as their belly is full, honey, like then they can have a good time. And I think that is just so endearing about them.
Relatable.
Yeah.
I want to show you this other one. I haven't seen the video, but it has a really freaky title. It says, 85 bears destroy Patriots.
Oh my God. And
it's apparently a group
not
of
on
like
my
80,
watch.
A group of like 85 bears. I don't know. Do you know of these specific bears?
What's happening?
There's 85 of them. Apparently one of them is called the Refrigerator and another one is called Walter Payton.
By any chance. And, a sports team. Yes.
Oh shit. No, this is the Super Bowl.
Cut this.
Never mind. Okay.
Cut
Justin,
that one,
you
Justin.
Cut that one.
Because I don't want to look stupid with
that. I just want to point out, I think it would be amazing one day to like work with athletes to see what in fact they know about the animal they're representing. Because like mascots are always animals. It's like the timber wolves or the eagles or the bears. Right. But it's like, do these people like have any like knowledge of the animals?
Yeah.
I should be a consultant. I should just go.
I
to
clearly
all the
don't. Yeah. You could,
NFL
you could just
games,
live in Chicago. The Bears, the Cubs.
Do a little like, science communication because everyone comes to a football game for science, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it would just be a perfect fit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought you were going to say it would be fun to one day set 85 Bears loose against 85 self described Patriots because that would be. I think we'd have similar results.
Yeah. 85 feral hogs.
Yeah.
On your property.
Oh my gosh.
Do you think the Christmas episode of The Bear needed to be a full hour?
Oh, I haven't seen The Bear.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait. Really? This is what I That's wanted so to say before to when I was like, I don't want to offend anybody out there because people send me bear stuff all day long. Like, mostly people that I'm friends with, like people, my friends and family send me bear stuff constantly. Like for gifts, I'm always getting like bears.
Bear stuff?
Oh, as no. gifts, right? Mm. Like I want folks to know, like I care about bears so much. It is my life. But like after like 5 p.m., like I care way less about what bears are doing. Like it's like a 9 to 5 and like maybe a little bit on the weekends. Like I can't be obsessed with bears constantly. Okay. I can't. It's not Same. My identity.
Okay. So I guess it sounds like we only have 4.5 hours left to keep asking you these questions.
Yeah. Okay. How about this though? Considering the fact that, you know, bears occupy your 9 to 5, what's something scientifically, because you do have, you know, you're around other learned scientists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's like a scientific breakthrough that has caught your attention from, you know, like what's got you excited when you're around these other scientists sciencing it up?
Ooh, oh my gosh. I have so many friends doing so much work. Here's something. Like, just as a brief departure from bears, like, wolves are doing some amazing stuff. And I'm friends with some of the researchers who are studying the wolves that are coming into California. So, like, the state of California hasn't had wolves in 100 years or something like that, or maybe over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And wolf conservation's been going on in Oregon. And naturally, like without anyone helping or tempting them, they are coming into California. And some of them are traveling down south. We had a wolf 2 years ago that made it all the way to LA County.
Wow.
From Oregon. That went on his own. He had a GPS collar on, and then it died like around the Central Coast. And unfortunately, the reason we know he got so far was because he was hit by a car down at LA
also
County.
A car was the undoing of that. Oh, what a journey.
Hit by a car after that huge journey. But it looks like wolves are repopulating where they used to live in California on their own. Conservation has done like a little bit in Oregon, but not a lot in California. And it's a powerful story to me because it's this like triumph and perseverance and like, you know, a reclamation of like land, right?
Right.
That was once theirs that they were literally killed off of. It's not like people removed them and took them somewhere else. They were shot to death and killed. And
they just kind of innately
back.
Figured out like this is the spot. This is
they're
where
coming back.
We belong.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, they're not going to be, again, they're not going to be like in your backyard, but they're going to be in these forests and in these mountains and in these landscapes where they used to once live. And to me, that's just so special. So I'm following that closely. And there's some colleagues of mine here in the California kind of academic space that are doing that work. And I'm a big fan.
That's cool. Do you have a favorite real bear? Like, is there a big old
285
guy or like girl out there who you're just like, every time I see their tracks or their leavings, they're just like doing something cool with being a bear.
Like I'm basic. Like this is how I'm like basic. I don't know. Are we allowed to curse on the show?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is where I'm like a basic bear bitch, right? It's like there's a bear called 399 and she's the famous bear. Like if you know of individual bears in America, then you know who 399 is. If you've never thought of this before, I suggest you look up bear 399. She lives in the Tetons in Wyoming. And she's super old. She's fabulous. She's super old, but she keeps having litters of cubs. And people keep waiting for her to die, but she keeps showing up with babies. And she's just like this incredible mom. She's given birth to, she's a grizzly bear, I should say. So it is also right. extra special. Grizzly bears are an endangered species. So she's a grizzly bear. She's lived in Wyoming for many, many years. $3.99. She just keeps having babies, honey. Like, she is fertile and fabulous and super old. So she's wow. my favorite. And if anyone has a favorite bear out there, it's probably $3.99.
That's so wild. There's even an IG account called Grizzly Bear 399.
Fabulous. I am telling you, like, fabulous. Like, get into 399.
Okay. Because, yeah, out here, everybody was all about P22. You know what I mean?
Which is everybody a mountain lion. He was wonderful. May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we can shift our focus to 399.
399. Yeah.
Do we want to probably ask one of our probably like more serious questions before we sign off here?
Yeah. Do you have one that you're... trying to
yeah.
get in there?
Okay. Yeah, I figure while we have you here, Dr. Ray, like, what's like the worst dump you ever seen an animal do?
A poop?
Yeah.
Oh, I spend so much time with animal poop.
Right. So like what's
I
the worst one?
I dig through it with my hands.
Like Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park.
Right.
See? Meant to be. Meant
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. Shout out for that synchronicity.
There you go.
Although it was Laura Dern who really went up to the hilt, up to the arm, up to the shoulder.
Yeah, but she had like that glove on. Remember that scene? Laura Dern, if you're listening to this, I'm your neighbor. We live close to each other.
Wow.
Come find me. Let's talk.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about sticking our whole arm into big piles.
Let's talk about how I will never not be rich. one of the more iconic lines from Big Little Lies.
So I just sent a whole bunch of bear, mountain lion, and bobcat poop off to a laboratory to get it analyzed to see what these animals are eating, right? Because a really good way to figure out like what the bears and the lions I'm studying are eating is to like look at what's in their poop. And if I can't tell, you send it to a lab and they tell you like what's in it. So I'm actually like hoping to find some interesting information that like my bears are eating like a lot of wild pigs or like deer or, you know, like the big awesome stuff. So honestly, like I just am so desensitized to giant like piles of poop from large animals.
Yeah, you just get excited to see them.
I also have a toddler at home.
Right, yeah.
Right? So it's like it's at work, it's at home. Like poop has become my life.
Yeah. Okay, but like, what's the worst? I'm sorry to keep harping. What's the
worst?
Have you ever like sent it off to the lab with just like a nasty written next to it?
Yeah, like, just like nasty. Be
so
careful,
the thing about bears, again, they're like a lot like people. Maybe this is TMI, but like depending on what bears eat, it just shows up in their poop, right? So like bear poop can look super different. It could be like it could be full of like berry seeds, right? Like just like totally full of seeds. You could get a big pile and it's like red in color because it's like they ate all these berries and there's all these seeds in it. Big pile. Or maybe a bear like went into a beehive, right? And like ate a whole bunch of honey and honeycomb. And then you're going to get a big pile of poop that's like a darker color and it has bees in it. Like the actual insects are
they
like
just eat the
dead
damn bees.
In that they eat the bees and it like goes through their system and you get like little bee butts in the pile of poop. And then sometimes bears eat a lot of fish, right? Like, let's say there's like a river or a stream and it's fall and the salmon are spawning. And that's when it's super gross because it's just like this black, tarry poop and it has this like fishy smell and it's more liquidy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like you'd think because it was protein, it would be firmer, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's
nasty. Because
they eat like the fat, like they eat like the brains of the fish and like the eggs. So it's all like loosey, black, like, like gross. Ugh. Yeah. Super gross.
Okay, so the worst kind of poop is a bear that's been eating a bunch of fish.
Yeah.
The grossest.
That's the grossest.
All right, yeah, you're right, Jack. I was going to say it was if they've been eating candy.
Yeah,
because that's kind of like me. Yeah. All
right. And the poops you find in woods. Like people sometimes are like, does a bear poop in the woods? And I know the answer to that. And I don't quietly have a panic attack because I don't know the answer to that. And everybody else seems to. But just like, in your professional...
Yeah, if you had to guess. Like,
bears do poop in the woods?
Bears poop wherever they are.
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's what I thought.
That's so good to have confirmed. I mean, I've always known that. I've always known that. And I was not just being falsely confident.
Now you can say that to your kids with confidence, Jack.
Finally. Dr. Ray Wingrant, thank you so much for joining us, for putting up with us.
My pleasure.
What a pleasure. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, see you, all that good stuff?
Ooh, follow me. I'll talk about bears amongst other things. I love a good social follow, so all my handles are the same, at Ray Wingrant. That's RaeWynnGrant. Check out my website. It's new, or it will be new in like a week or two. So that's RaeWynnGrant.com. And check out my podcast, Going Wild with Dr. Ray Wingrant. It's on it's for PBS Nature. You can get it wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever, whatever app you use, that's where you can find it. And check out my new television show, Wild Kingdom, which is on NBC every Saturday and streaming on Peacock every single Sunday.
NBC. Right. I've heard of them. They're they're one of the channels.
You know, notable. Yeah.
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 They have SNL and they have my show. So
yeah,
that's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
I really love my podcast and my TV show. Yeah. But I will just say, I mean, like, if you want to know like who I am after hours, I have been loving this show on Netflix. My husband and I watch it like together. And maybe this is how I'm just like a bear, that I'm constantly hungry, but it's called American Barbecue Showdown. And like, you never knew a show about meat like could be so entertaining. So like, my husband and I stay up late and we watch American Barbecue Showdown on Netflix. And that is a piece of media that I'm enjoying. So I guess I'm just like a bear. I just can't get enough food.
There you go. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Miles, where can people find you, follow you, work in media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, all over the place where you got them, in the Angeles National Forest, looking for the grossest animal poops imaginable, for my other Instagram, at Worst Nature Poops. And then you can find us on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Where, just the preseason delivers. I don't know why people are getting mad that people look this great in preseason. We're seeing something really cool.
People are getting mad that they look this good?
There are people being like, calm down, it's preseason. It's like, I don't care. This guy's
fun.
Freaking giants out here windmilling on us all. Yeah. And then you can find me on my 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, and also The Good Thief. That's a true crime one, but it doesn't have any killing. It's only about kidnapping millionaires and giving the money to poor people. It's pretty cool. Let's see. A tweet I like is from Ron Iver at Ronui, R-O-N-N-U-I _, tweeted, Twitter ads in 2021. Try drinking a refreshing Pepsi when you see a movie, smiley face. Twitter ads in 2023. My name is Mike the Rat Man, and I discovered the real Pizza Hut. It's so fucking true. So I just love the tone of that. So fucking real.
Amazing. Tweet I've been enjoying, Mert at Mert Century tweeted, hitting a vape that's attached to a desk by one of those chains they have on the pens at the bank. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think the people might enjoy?
I think you're going to like this one. This is from a UK rapper in it, Names Bliss, NamesBliss. And a really cool, I got attracted to the track. It's called Iniesta Flow, obviously a reference to the great Spanish footballer Andres Iniesta. But the lyrics are great. And sometimes hearing rap in that beautiful UK accent, this is like, it's like an entirely new genre. But the beat on it is really dope too. So for, you know, geriatric millennials of a certain age, you're going to like this one. It's called Iniesta Flow.
Amazing. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.